We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
I promise to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what I want to talk about tonight, telling the truth and always telling the truth. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Lie not to one another." Proverbs 12 and verse 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." Now these verses, as well as a lot of other verses in the Bible, teach that God hates lying. You know, the Bible is very plain about this subject. And so I'm always surprised when I hear Christians who try to defend the subject of lying. But unfortunately, it happens pretty regularly. And usually their argument consists of some very difficult situations that have very serious consequences. And the person will suggest that in light of these very, very undesirable consequences, that lying is the better choice. And that indeed, in some cases, that God would even approve. And sometimes they will even make appeals to circumstances in the Bible that they believe imply that lying is okay. When I was in this recent gospel meeting that I was holding in Nashville, Tennessee, I did a lesson on lying. And afterwards, one of the brethren came to me, and he began to work me over on this subject. And he took me out to lunch, and he wanted to argue about this. And he believed that there are some circumstances in which it's okay to lie, and that you can do it with God's approval. And he became very vehement, and he began to make arguments to try to prove his point, and he laid out scenarios that he thought would justify lying. And he appealed to passages of the Bible that he thought made his point. And so what I want to do tonight is three things. Number one, I want to discuss some of the scenarios, some of the dilemmas that people put forth to try to defend lying. Number two, I want to share with you some of the Bible passages that people appeal to try to defend lying. Then number three, and finally, I want to give you short, quick, absolute proofs from the Bible that it is never right to lie. Number one, let's talk about some of these situations. This brother began by telling me of a situation that was taking place in his area. And you know, there are always hypotheticals that people come up with. But he says this is a real situation. He says in the Nashville area, there's a situation where people are breaking into houses and they're committing rape. And the story went something like this. He said that a grandfather was home alone with his two granddaughters. And he heard a noise downstairs. And so he told his granddaughters, "You stay here and I'm going to go downstairs and investigate." When he got downstairs, a man knocked him to the ground and put a gun to his head and asked him, "Is there anyone else in the house?" Now, the question that this brother posed to me was, what would you do? What would you say under those circumstances? He said, if you tell the truth, it's going to mean tragedy for your granddaughters. And then he proceeded to suggest that under extreme circumstances such as this, it would be okay to lie. Now, what do you say to that? How do you answer that? You know, admittedly, this would be a terrible situation, and it's one that I hope I never encounter. But, brethren, may I suggest to you that a wrong action, listen to me, a wrong action does not turn into a right one just because the consequences are severe. Sin does not change into not being sin just because of a terrible circumstance. I asked the brother this. I said, let's alter the situation a little bit. Let's suppose that the man who broke into the house is a psychopath who hates Christians. And he says to you, "I despise Christians with every bone of my being. And nothing pleases me more than to make them suffer. And if you're a Christian, I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to make you suffer. I'm going to make your wife and daughter suffer. And I'm going to make you watch. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And I ask him, "What would you say?" And he said, I would never deny my Lord. And that's commendable. I'm glad he said that. But I said, why not? Why would you not lie under those circumstances? If God approves of lying in order to protect life or in extreme circumstances, certainly that would be an extreme circumstance. Certainly it would be to protect your life and the life of your wife and your daughter. Why would it not be okay? He said, to deny the Lord would be even worse than the consequences. Now, brethren, I want you to appreciate what this brother has done. He has put himself in a situation where he now determines which sins are the most serious and which sins are the least, and then he acts accordingly. In one situation, he believes lying is acceptable. In another, he believes it's not. This is what you call situation ethics, and it's not Bible ethics. He is the determining factor in this. You know, Abraham tried to pull a stunt like this one time to protect his own life, and his method was lying. In Genesis chapter 20, Abraham lied to Abimelech. You remember that he said, Sarah is my sister. And some people say it was a half lie, but someone has said a half lie, a half truth is a whole lie, is the way they said it. Well, he lied to Abimelech. The reason that he gave, according to verse 11 of Genesis 20, he says, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. So he said, I was scared for my life. That's why I told that lie. But despite the fact that he told a lie to protect his own life, it is very clear if you read that chapter, God did not approve of it. Now, another scenario that was posed to me recently was this. If lying is wrong, then the government can't function. They said if lying is wrong, then the government is going to be put in a very serious situation because what about our spies we have in other countries? What about our intelligence programs? If we can't lie, then they're in serious jeopardy. Now, you know, it's true that many governments exist based on lies. Now, I know you're shocked to hear that, but that is the case. But, you know, sometimes men try to convince themselves that that's necessary. They say, we've got to lie. We've got to do it. But, you know, the Bible still says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And anything more than this is from the evil one. Matthew 5 and verse 37. Proverbs 14 and verse 37 still says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, to any nation. Lying is not justified just because it's the government. And again, the consequences of sin don't somehow transform it into a non-sin. I read a quote from an unknown author, and it said this, always tell the truth, and if you can't tell the truth, don't lie. Now, I don't know exactly what the person had in mind when they said that, but I think what they were saying is this. Sometimes you're going to be put in a situation where telling the truth could be very damaging. Sometimes the best thing you can do is say nothing. Sometimes the best thing to do is don't answer. Don't respond. Some situations are so difficult that the best thing to do is nothing. Now, in this same context, someone even suggested this to me. Listen to this quote. Someone suggested to me that the truth is so precious that sometimes it needs to be protected by a bodyguard of lies. Brethren, that is absolute nonsense. That's nonsense. That's something straight out of the devil's handbook. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. It means don't you ever give up holding on to the truth. There is nothing so precious on this earth that you should cease to walk in the paths of the truth and walk in the pathway of the devil. There's nothing worth doing that. Now, sometimes men will argue that the principle of mercy will override the truth. It is suggested that mercy is greater than the truth. And that being the case, there are times which in order to uphold mercy, you ought to lie. But you know, it makes me wonder, if lying is justified by mercy, are there other sins that could be justified by mercy? Could adultery sometimes be justified by mercy? Could homosexuality be justified by mercy? How about this one? Could abortion be justified by mercy? Could murder be justified by mercy? Could we indeed have mercy killings? See, when you begin to set forth an idea that one sin is justified by the principle of mercy, it opens the door to all of these sins. And you know, the fact is, the Bible says that God is the God of mercy. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says He is rich in mercy. And yet Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says He cannot lie. The two are not mutually exclusive and they don't contradict each other. Because a person is merciful doesn't mean that he has to lie. In fact, if he does, he's going to sin. And consider this. Certainly no one would ever question the wonderful mercy of Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, Jude and verse 21. And yet I never read about Jesus lying. I want you to just think about this for a minute. Was it the case that we are sometimes faced with moral dilemmas that are so severe that they would force us to choose the lesser of two evils and sometimes we have to lie, but that the Lord in His 33 years was never faced with a dilemma like that? The Lord never faced a moral dilemma as serious as the ones we face, and so He never had to lie. Friends, if that's the case, what about Hebrews 4:15 that says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin? Never read about Jesus Christ telling a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord walked this earth, He was a perfect example for us to emulate. And people can come up with all sorts of scenarios if they want to, but I would ask the question, what would the Lord do in these situations when He faced these various dilemmas? I know what He wouldn't do. I know that He wouldn't lie. You know how I know that? Because if He did lie, at that moment, He would cease to be God. Because Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says God cannot lie. It is impossible for Him. If He did lie, then He was not God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Now, that's scenarios people come up with. What about Bible arguments? Sometimes people even appeal to the Bible to justify lying sometimes. The most common argument I ever hear people appeal to is the story of Rahab that we had in the scripture reading tonight. Someone even posed it to me recently like this. They said, when the spies entered the promised land, what would have happened, he said, if Rahab had not lied to protect them? What would have happened to the children of Israel as far as them receiving the promised land? Friends, the answer is they would have still received the promised land. God would have done it some other way, but they would have still received it. You see, God promised them this land, and it was not dependent upon Rahab. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That passage is teaching us that regardless of what men may do to us or what may happen to us, God can accomplish His will. If men sin, God can accomplish His will. If men do right, God can accomplish His will. God's plan was not dependent upon Rahab and whether she lied or whether she didn't. They would have received the promised land. There is not a doubt about that. Now, sometimes people will lay out the argument this way. They will say, when the spies came to Rahab, she lied to protect them. Later, she is blessed or she's complimented for her actions in the New Testament. And they say what we have there then is a lie that is met with God's approval. It is a justified lie. I want you to go to Joshua 2 and let's read just part of what was read in the scripture reading. And then we're going to examine this argument. Joshua 2 and verse 1 says, now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And so they went, and they came into the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. And so the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the two men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly and you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. And then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, when you read this account, there's no doubt that Rahab lied. She did. In fact, she told several lies. In verse number 4, she says, I don't know where they came from. That was a lie. Verse 5, she says, when it was dark, they went out. That was a lie. Verse 5, she said, I don't know where the men are. That was a lie. Several, at least three lies she told. Now, the problem is when you get to the New Testament, you see that Rahab is actually complimented by God for her behavior. And so some people think you find sanction for lying there. Let's look at these two passages in the New Testament. The first one is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 31. The text says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, friends, I'm going to read that passage again. I want you to see if you hear anything in that passage that condones lying. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. There's nothing in that passage that condones lying. It just doesn't. She's complimented because she received the spies in peace. Here's the second passage. James chapter 2 and verse 25. It says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she had received the messengers and she sent them out another way? Again, there is nothing in that passage that condones lying. Now, as I was arguing with this brother, he said, well, you know, the fact that she lied was inherent. It was a part of the fact that she sent them out another way. That was inherent in the lie. It's not inherent in the lie. This passage in James 2:25 can stand wholly and separately apart from the lie. Let me illustrate this to you. Let's assume that it took place this way. Let's assume that the king's men came to the door and they knocked on the house and they said, Miss Rahab, can we come in and look around? And she said, sure. And the king's men, they came in and they walked around and they didn't see anything, and so they left. And she didn't even say a word to them. Could she still have been complimented for receiving the spies and sending them out another way? Sure she could have. Separate and apart from the lie, this statement can stand wholly without the lie. It is not dependent upon the lie. Rahab's lie is never condoned in the Scriptures. You know, what we have with the account of Rahab is merely an example of God honoring a woman due to her obedient faith in spite of, listen to me, in spite of a character flaw, not because of it. As a matter of fact, Rahab had a lot of character flaws. At this time, she's a heathen, and she's a harlot, and she's a liar. But she tried to help God's people, and He blesses her in spite of her character flaws, not because of them. This doesn't justify lying. She's justified because she tried to help God's people. And she did it in a way that the Lord doesn't condone. Well, another passage that people try to appeal to justify lying is Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. This is the account of the Hebrew midwives. Let's read this one very quickly. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of the midwife for the Hebrew women, and you see them on the birth stools, if it's a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children alive. And so the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and he said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and they give birth before the midwives come in. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty, and it was because the midwives feared God that He provided households for them. And so Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now, here's the argument. The argument says Pharaoh commanded the midwives to kill the newborn Hebrew males. The midwives disobeyed him. Instead, and after the fact, they lied about it concerning their actions. Number four, God blessed them. And since God blessed them and a lie was part of what they did, then God therefore sanctioned a lie. That doesn't follow. This is not reasonable. The text says that God blessed them because they feared God, not because they lied. And as a matter of fact, if you look at verse 17, it indicates that the way they exhibited their fear of God was by sparing the babies. And that was prior to the lie taking place. They had already feared God. They had already pleased God prior to ever telling this lie. In fact, I would say it this way. They spared the babies because they feared God. They lied because they feared Pharaoh. There is no justification in this passage for lying. Now, someone even, I guess out of desperation, even suggested to me Matthew chapter 2. He suggested that the wise men lied when they did not return to Herod after they saw the baby Jesus. The argument is this. The wise men made a promise to Herod that after they saw the baby Jesus, they were going to come back to him, and they didn't do it. And therefore, they lied. Now, I went back and I got out my Bible and I read this text to see, just to examine their argument. I want you to listen to it. See if you can find this. Matthew 2 and verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. Now, unless I'm missing something, there is nothing there about a promise to return. The king said, when you find him, come back. And they left. That's all the Bible says. It doesn't say they promised to come back to him. And besides that, in verse 12 of the text, God specifically told them, go home a different way. There's no argument there. There's nothing there that justifies lying. Friends, when people appeal to the Bible to justify lying, they're going to come up empty-handed every single time. Now, here's the third point. I want to give you some short, quick arguments that show that lying is always wrong. How do you deal with these things? Here's number one. Some of these things we've already covered, but I just want to put it in a neat package here. Number one, right and wrong are not determined by earthly consequences. That's the first thing I would point out. Right and wrong are not determined by earthly consequences. You know, sometimes doing right is very costly. You know, Jesus told the rich young ruler in order to do right, he was going to have to give up everything. In order to do right, the Apostle Paul suffered beatings and abuse. When it comes to determining right and wrong, if I begin letting earthly consequences be the factor that determines right and wrong, I'm going to get way out of whack. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." That's how I determine right and wrong. I look at the law of God and see what He states. I don't look at the situation and say, "Well, this is a really tough situation, and so this is not a sin." That's not right. I can't reason that way as a Christian. That's situation ethics. Here's argument number two. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Now, I want you to particularly observe with me that it says, "Be faithful not until death, but unto death." The Lord is saying, you be faithful even if it costs you your life. You are faithful and you do what's right even if you have to die because of it. Now, brethren, what does that do to these scenarios that people put forth that suggest, well, a lie is okay if it's to protect your life? It shoots it to part. It tears it to pieces. Brethren, the truth is more precious than life itself. God is a God of truth. Psalm 31 and verse 5. And I always want to be like Him. And the only way I'm going to do that is to always tell the truth. Here's argument number three. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, I want you to notice, it does not say some liars. It does not say all liars except those who have been put in really tough situations. It does not say all liars except those who have lied to protect human life. It simply says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Now, brethren, that's the passage I'm going to hold to. Now, people can come up with all sorts of scenarios if they want to, but what they really need is a passage of Scripture where God says it's all right to lie. And there's not one. There's nothing like that in the Bible. I'm going to stick with Revelation 21:8. Here's argument number four. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says God cannot lie. He cannot do it. Now, I have to wonder this. If lying is sometimes okay, then why can't God do it? Why can't He ever do it? And I wonder this. Why did Jesus Christ never do it? And if mercy justifies lying, why can't the God of mercy lie? And the answer is, because lying is never right. It is always inherently evil. Lying is always wrong. Here's argument number five. Satan is the source of lying. Now listen carefully to this. I'm going to read you something and pick out a part that we don't normally quote. We hear this verse a lot, but I want to focus on part of this. Jesus said to those people who were lying in His presence, He said, "You are of the father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie..." Listen what the New King James says. "When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." The Bible says when the devil tells a lie, he's drawing from his own resources. When you tell a lie, you're drawing from the resources of the devil. Matthew 5:37 says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Listen to the last part. "Whatsoever is more than these is from the evil one." When you lie, you are taking it from the evil one. You're drawing from the resources of the devil. And so when I lie, the Lord says, "My father is the devil. He is the source of my lies. They are from the evil one." Now, for me to suggest that it's all right to lie is really to suggest that sometimes it's okay to stop following God and to follow the devil. Brethren, I reject that with every ounce of my being. Here's argument number six. God will provide a way of escape. You know, it was suggested to me by someone who was trying to defend lying that what happens is sometimes a situation is so extreme that you just have to choose the lesser of two evils. You've got to choose the lesser. They're both wrong, but you've got to choose which one is less wrong. You know, I remember in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, the Bible says God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I can trust that His escape for me will not be another sin. He's not telling me, I know the situation's very, very strong, and I tell you what, for your way of escape to face temptation, just go ahead and sin. And that's not the point. The point is, the Lord will provide a way of escape for me. Now, you know, the more I study this, the more I am convinced that this is a very serious error for a Christian to hold to, that lying can sometimes be right. It is a misunderstanding of God Himself. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17 says, God hates the lying tongue. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Proverbs 31 and verse 5 calls God the God of truth. The psalmist wrote, for the word of the Lord is right and all of His works are done in truth. Psalm 33 and verse 4. Leviticus 19:11 says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. Proverbs 13 and verse 5 says, a righteous man hates lying. Friends, there is no justification in the Bible for lying. We can come up with all of the scenarios in the world, but there's still not a passage. People can appeal to various scenarios in the Bible and say, I think that implies that lying is right. But it still doesn't. The Bible still says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.